Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host, Jake Lewis. As always, you can follow me on Twitter or X at Louis Lewis 5. That's LEWYLEWIS and the number 5. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I will be covering my NFL Combine risers and fallers, and also I'll be playing GM of NFC South teams. I have covered every division except the South of NFC, and West is going to be next week, so be sure to check back and listen to those. And without further ado, let's get fantasy. All right, so chat, what did you guys actually think? Did you like the NFL Combine? I know I enjoy it all the time because these guys are freak athletes, but I'm kind of starting to dislike it because, you know, I want to see certain players perform. You know, I want to see Shadir throw, but he sat out everything. I want to see what other people ran in the 40, like Jalen Milroe. Somehow his hands got bigger in a month, and he we'll get into him. But, you know, I just want to know what you guys think. I'm kind of disappointed with, you know, I mean, I understand, I guess it's a business decision for them, but I would love to see what they're going to put on display. So majority of these guys, we got to wait until pro day, even if they do pro days. But we did get insight on height and weight, so that's a good thing, I guess, and medical clearance at the combine. For my risers at the combine, I'll start with quarterbacks. My two guys are Jackson Dart, quarterback from Ole Miss. He's competing for that. I think he kind of actually, you know what, he solidified himself as a top three quarterback in this draft class. He's competing for the number two, but he's number three to me. Impressive showing at the combine. Has, you know, evaluated him and like his status to easily, yeah, being the number three. I'm going to say he's going to be a first rounder. A lot of times, you know, teams jump up into late first round just to have that fifth year option. And it's always a good idea for a quarterback, just putting that out there. But yeah, he's my number three quarterback on this year. He pretty much proved it there at the combine, throwing great passes. Overall, I really like his performance. My second guy is Kyle McCord, quarterback, Syracuse. He made a lot of great throws. He, like Jackson Dart, is number three. Kyle McCord is my number four quarterback. I wish I would see him perform the 40. I guess it doesn't really matter because he's not going to really run, but he is a great system quarterback, I guess you would say, depending on which team gets him. You know, if he probably would have really done well if he, you know, if Matthew Stafford did get traded, he would have fit really, really well in the Rams offense. I wish I could have been something for him. But he is my number four quarterback in this year's draft class. I mean, obviously I have Shadir Sanders. Wish he would perform, like I said. Number two is Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Kyle McCord, and Jalen Milroe. Those are my quarterbacks that are on the rise. My running back on the rise is, let me try to pronounce his, Brayshaw Tutin, running back, Virginia Tech. If you didn't know, I'm pretty sure he's the number one guy. He ran the fastest 40 time at the combine for running backs, a 4.32. you know, he also had a 40.5 inch vertical and a 10 foot 10 broad jump. Definitely going to go up draft boards. I probably have him in the top 10 of my running backs right now. And it's just so hard because it's a loaded draft class for running backs. Next is Quinshon Judkins, running back from Ohio State. He impressed with a 4.48, just like Tootin, 38.5 vertical though, but he did have an explosive broad jump, which was 11 feet at 221 pounds. It's just amazing. He yet showed pure strength, and he's easily a day two pick. He might even, you know, jump into that late first, but I have him early second to, I'm going to say, the Raiders. If I was the Raiders, to me at 106, if I can't get Shedeur Sanders or Sam Darnold, I have them signing Sam Darnold starting next week. Actually, is free agency. I have them signing Sam Darnold. There you got Brock Bowers. Draft Tet McMillan at 106 and draft Quinshon Judkins in the second round. I mean, plus Chip Kelly is his offense coordinator. What better fit? I mean, he knows these guys. And last but not least for the running backs, Omarion Hampton, running back UNC. He showcased his athleticism with a 4.46 40. He's 221 pounds. He had a 38 inch vertical and he had a 10 foot 10 inch broad jump as well. His thighs are massive. 6 foot, like I said, 221. To me, this confirmed, you know, his potential first rounder. No, he's a first rounder now. He's got to be. And if he fell all the way to the Chargers or Denver Broncos, I think they could utilize his skill set. And he would probably be my number 102 for dynasty drafts currently. Wide receiver, Jalen Noll, wide receiver out of Iowa State. Noll impressed with a 4.39 40, 41.5 vertical, and a 10.11 broad jump. He's easily a day two pick for me. He just solidified that at the combine, and he had a strong showing at the Senior Bowl. I just like what he's been putting on tape. And his co-partner, Jaden Higgins, Iowa State. He's 6'4 and 212 or 214 pounds. He impressed with a 4.47. He's got strong hands. He's going to be another day two. These both guys, they got fed during regular season. They're each performing amazing during this offseason and through the draft process. Both of them are going to be day two picks. My last wide receiver I'm going to say for the rise, Matthew Golden. I'm starting to feel more impressed with him every time I watch tape, even though, you know, his profile shows maybe a second, third rounder, but he ran a 4.29 40. And to me, he could have a possibility of being a top 15 draft pick. I think it's more of a late one, early two. He might get some kind of like Jalen Polk draft capital like he did last year, early second round. But I mean, I didn't see him running a 4.29, especially when his college partner teammate, Isaiah Bond. Yeah, so much for you know, breaking that record. I think you ran like a 4.41 or some ridiculous number. It was, or 4.38. Definitely didn't break the record, I could tell you that. But Matthew Golden keeps impressing, and he's moving up draft boards ever since college playoffs. But every time you turn on the news about him, he keeps climbing. And I'm just going to only do one for tight end. Terrence Ferguson, Oregon. He showcased, you know, exceptional athleticism through the drills on field. A 40-yard dash. He also had a 9-inch vertical, positioning himself valuable around second round. I think he's more a third rounder, but he might sneak up into that back half of the second round. Now, my fallers, Will Howard from Ohio State, despite entering, you know, the combine with the momentum of a strong college playoff performance, Howard's throwing session was less than stellar. Like, he struggled with accuracy, particularly on deep balls, leading to concerns about his downfield play ability. While he tested well athletically, his throws were inconsistent and may impact his draft position. To me, he didn't give me that wow impression either. And I know a lot of social media has been eating him up, and I don't blame him because it was terrible. Next is Shedeur Sanders. You know, he opted out of the combine drills, planning to showcase at the pro days, like I mentioned before. However, interviews with teams, they got mixed reactions from him. His demeanor was brash and ignorant, potentially impacting his draft capital. I heard that multiple times that he keeps on thinking his, basically, he doesn't even want to be there. He's just brashful, ignorant, thinking he's, you know, all that. Come on, man. Act like you want the job. Like, you show up to a job interview, you don't go, well, I just want the job. Okay, well, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm good. What else? You know, act interested. Your daddy can't sit there and hold your hand 24/7. I understand he's a legend, but you are your own man. Play to the bright spotlight. You know, maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's all of an act just to get to LA or the Raiders with his connection with Tom Brady. I don't know, because I'm kind of disappointed with his performance overall. And all he did was show up. You know, he didn't even do anything besides interview, and he didn't even do that right or good. Another quarterback that's falling is Dillon Gabriel of Oregon. Raised question among evaluators. It just wasn't great at all. While, you know, his deep pass was pretty good, he missed a lot of several throws, though, throughout the whole process. It's just leading to concern with his consistency and arm strength. He completed a couple of deep balls, but he had a lot of bad throws overall. I don't know if he's gonna even be drafted. He might be like a late sixth round pick. He might be just a sixth round pick. I mean, a lot of times though, teams don't want a left-hand backup quarterback just because of how it's coming off, you know, the throws and everything like that. Sometimes they just don't want to deal with it. Devin Neal for running backs at Kansas, is underwhelming, you know, leading to concern of consistency and explosiveness. This causes slight dip definitely in his draft stock. Teams will, you know, obviously reevaluate his role and potential at his pro day, but I think he ran a lot slower than anticipated. Raheem Sanders, running back out of South Carolina, his metrics were solid, but nothing eye popping. He just needs to work on his, I guess he just didn't give you that wow. He was okay, but not good at any one thing to me. He is always towards the bottom half of like all the athletic testing skills. It just, to me, it didn't really give me excitement for him. Next for wide receivers, Tez Johnson, standing 5'9 and 154 pounds. Dude, I might have been that in fifth grade, sixth grade. Like, man, put on some weight. I don't understand how you are 154 pounds. I think that was the combine's lightest player since 1999. I think I looked it up, but like, I understand everyone's going to talk crap about your 40 time. 'Cause boy, that looked, you look a lot faster on film, Tez, than you ran that 40. You know, you got to ask the question, what do you think your 40 time is going to be like tomorrow? If you blink, you might miss me. Dude, I think we blinked twice during that run. Like, it was not impressive. A 4.55. I mean, hell, I can't run that. But, you know, you're made for this. You're a wide receiver. You know, I understand your game film looks a whole hell of a lot faster. But 154 pounds, you're going to get killed out there. Like, you only could be on the field probably 50% of the time, because if you're on there, you know, a lot more than that, you're going to get smacked around and it's not going to be pretty. I already kind of hinted at this guy, Isaiah Bond. High expectations. He entered the combine. He said that he was going to set new records with the 40. Like I said, he ran a 4.1 in the time of a 4.1. That's what he is saying he's going to run. However, dude, you ran a 4.39. Well, it's respectable, but it fell well short of expectations and what you thought you're going to. And overall, like, I don't even think he's had over 700 yards in college in one season with Alabama and Texas. But yeah, was not happy about that. Next at tight end, Gunnar Helm, Texas. His performance was underwhelming as well, leading to concerns about his route running ability, separation skills as well in the next level. It probably caused slight dip. The only thing I understand, he had that false start and injured his ankle. At least he's toughed it out. I mean, if you look on social media, you can see his ankle. It's pretty swollen and bruised up. He says he's going to run a lot faster at his pro day. Hopefully he heals quickly, because, I mean, me personally, hell, I know what a sprained ankle can do. I mean, I did it last year, had 3 torn ligaments, but I'm not playing football, though. You know, those are my risers and fallers for the combine this past week. Also, you know, like I said, Jalen Milroe, I should probably put him in, but he's got to be one of the guys I got to talk about, because I don't know how the hell you stretch your hand out and get a half an inch bigger in a month, because I got small hands. Maybe I stretch it? I don't know. Let me know what your skill set was of making a bigger hand. But also, why would you not show your athleticism. Like, you threw like crap. You had a lot of inconsistent throws, but you could have went off the chart with your 40 time. I mean, a lot of people, I think, were waiting for that to you run the 40, and you just didn't. You could have literally went in there and been like, yeah, I might miss a lot of passes, just like Anthony Richardson. I mean, he only had 15 career starts or whatever before going to the NFL. But hey, athletically, I am the most gifted guy in the quarterback draft class. Like, why would you not, man? Unless if you're sick, injured, something, but that news should have came out too with it. But you showed up and you hurt your draft stock, honestly. Anyways, before we switch gears into the GM of NFC South, let's hear a word from our podfather.
I am proud to announce that Fast Draft now has an all-defense game called D-Up. That's right, fans of IDP finally have a real money best ball game that they can play. No more manually setting up leagues every time you want to do a draft. No. Now you can play for 10 grand, 2,000 to first. Could draft up to 30 teams, all defense. And the best part? Balanced scoring. Tackles for loss. Pass breakups. It all factors in. Just draft 6 defensive players, top 4 into your lineup every week. It's that easy. It's so easy that this isn't just for IDP people. If you love the NFL, then you'll love this game. And for the first time with Fast Draft, you can sweat both sides of the ball on Sunday. So use your host's promo code to get a $25 deposit match, and you'll love this D-Up contest because it's about time we got one.
Yeah. Download Fast Draft. You can use my host promo code. It's the same as my Twitter handler, LouisLewis5, L-E-W-Y. L-E-W-I-S and the number 5. Also, be sure to follow us on Player Profiler. Sign up for the all-in package. This includes the Dynasty Deluxe, DFS Dominator, World Famous Draft Kit, Data Analysis, and Player Ranking. You know, we always update it. We just updated all the rookies right now after the Combine, so be sure to check that out. Look it up. All in package. Get on it. Also, thanks for, you know, tuning in today with the YouTube channel, but also subscribe, like it. If you don't like me, whatever, give me a thumbs down. I don't care. Comment, whatever you gotta do. Also, another way to follow myself, hopefully you like the content I create, at least, and everyone else here at Player Profiler, but follow my podcast as well. It's Fantasy End Zone. I come out with a new episode every Tuesday during the off season, and every Tuesday and Friday during the regular season. You know, I have a bunch of good stuff over there. Also, like I said, follow me on Twitter, LouisLewis5. Let's get into playing GM for NFC South teams. First, what am I even doing? I'm doing an eight-week segment of each division, going team by team, you know, breaking down their team needs, the salary cap situation, free agents, who I'd be drafting, anything of sort, you know, with the teams. So without further ado, let's get GMing, I guess. That sounds stupid. All right, anyways, we'll start off with the New Orleans Saints. In 2024, the Saints finish 5-12, placing them last in the division. The season actually began very promising with 2 consecutive victories. I mean, these were huge scoring games too, but had a 7-game losing streak that led to midseason removal of Dennis Allen, the head coach, and they filled it in with their special teams coordinator, Rizzi, I think it was. let me know, chat. But offensively, the Saints struggled, ranking 24th in points scored with an average of 19.9 points per game. Defensively, they allowed an average of 23.4 points per game, placing them 19th in the league. The team faced significant challenges, including injuries and penalties, but it just all contributed to their poor performances, especially the 7-game losing streak was just terrible. This also led to, you know, the firing, but they did hire Kellen Moore. Hopefully they get him back on track, but he's got his work cut out for him, especially with salary cap situation. But I think they're probably going to finish last again in 2025. Their skilled positions are set to hit free agency at quarterback is none of them. Running back, it was, you know, none, but they already released Jamal Williams, veteran. He, ever since he left the Bears, he hasn't done nothing. I mean, he's still hurt, can't stay on the field. He's playing behind Kamara and, God, terrible Kendre Miller, whatever. Wide receiver, Dante Pettis and Marquise Valdes-Scantling. Tight end, Juwan Johnson. Who am I bringing back? Who am I retaining? Who am I re-signing? I'm retaining Juwan Johnson because they're going to be cutting their Swiss Army knife in Taysom Hill. I don't even know if he's going to play much next year because of his injury with his ACL late in the season. But they're going to cut him, so you're going to want to have that tight end. Why not keep Juwan Johnson? Otherwise, the rest I'd let go. Besides MVS, I'm also bringing him back. He averaged 21.6 yards per catch since he joined the Saints midseason. Their salary cap situation, they face a uphill battle here, definitely. they're dead last for salary cap because they're 47.1 million over the cap. Yeah, you heard that. Over the cap, $47 million. They're going to have to figure out ways to move this around. You know, switching people's contracts, extending them, whatever, releasing. Because otherwise they're not going to have crap to sign any free agents or anything like that. That's why I think they're going to finish last in the division again. You know, like I said, they already cut Jamal Williams, which saved $1.59 million in cap, but they're going to have to do a whole lot more than that, restructuring contracts, release underperforming players, maybe acquire, you know, cheap people. Like, I don't know what else they can really do. Free agents, team needs quarterback for sure. Offensive line, wide receiver, defense line, linebacker, secondary, you know, anywhere in the secondary, and probably another running back. I feel with the terrible salary cap situation, the only thing that they're going to target is O-line and maybe bring in like a veteran wide receiver at a cheap deal, maybe like a Darius Slayton, perhaps. We know all about the past and the history of Chris Olave, so getting a cheap veteran might not be the worst for him. I don't know. But during the draft, they got, like I said, they got a whole lot of team needs. You can't really do anything through free agency when you're negative, you know, $47 million. What the hell are you going to do? I don't know what else they can do. But they have the number 9 overall pick. You know, I see edge, wide receiver, corner. To me, I have them selecting Will Johnson to replace Marshawn Lattimore, who they traded midseason to the Washington Commanders. I think he helps fill that void and helps this team build up. Otherwise, they're going to go edge. It's just so hard. If they are going to bring in any skilled positions, I have them bringing in somebody for running back, like a DJ Giddens from Kansas State. Kendrick Miller just can't stay healthy. Kamara is getting older. They just released Jamal Williams, so they're going to have some kind of guy. Giddens was a big play machine in 2024. 37 explosive runs while forcing 55 missed tackles at Kansas State last year. His physical running style will help. You know, it helped him rack up 866 yards of his 1,300 yards after contact. I know a lot of people say draft a QB. I don't think they're going to find much value in this draft class later on in this draft, because I don't see them getting one in the first or second or third round, because they have so many holes and everything to be needing. And I just don't think later on they're going to have anything to look at. And I just don't find any big names that I would bring in. So why not just draft players that can help me now and maybe build up on, and then screw it, suck it, and get a high draft pick next year. So the Saints 2025 outlook. Quarterback, I have Derek Carr still being on the team. Spencer Rattler. So even if, you know, Carr's sucking or whatever, you get Spencer Rattler, give him another chance. You have an offensive-minded coach. Hopefully Kellen Moore can help him. Actually, speaking of Kellen Moore, I just forgot that Kellen Moore and Derek Carr face each other in college. That's great. And Jake Haener also, sorry. Sidetracked. Squirrel. Anyways, running back, Alvin Kamara. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still there. It's not much of a nothing to brag about. Kendre Miller and their new drafty DJ Giddens. Wide receiver Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. Hopefully he comes back healthy. He was doing well until he tore his ACL, I do believe. Marquise Valdez-Scantling, Cedric Wilson, Bub Means, the rookie, and Darius Slayton. Tight ends, Juwan Johnson and Foster Monroe. What do you guys think? How did I do on the Saints? Moving along, because we got to kind of get this somewhat faster. Carolina Panthers are my next team. 2024, they finished 5-12, placing third in the division. Some key metrics. Points scored, they had 341, which was 20.1 per game. That ranked 23rd. They allowed 31.4 points a game, which ranked dead last in the league. You're not going to really win many games when you're giving up an average of 31 points. I'm surprised they had 5 wins with doing so. It's a worse than NFL. Last year, their differential, point differential, negative 193. I mean, I guess you could see that from 20 to 31, that's 11 points a game, roughly, you're giving the other team. Yards per game or per play, they're 5.1. That ranked 24th. 6 yards per play they are giving up. That's 32nd. That's dead last, if you didn't know. Despite, you know, those challenges, the Panthers did finish strong, winning 3 of the last 4 after they bench Bryce Young. He came back, and he had 3 top 8 finishes in the last 6 weeks. So it might help us in fantasy, especially Dynasty. he might be worthy of keeping and holding on to have some kind of value. But it was just hard and rough for this team. Overall, you know, 2024 was marked by defensive struggles, leading to high number of losses. I mean, when you're giving up that many, you ain't winning many games. Anyways, moving along. Key free agents, quarterbacks, there's none because they re-signed Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, as the backup to Bryce Young. Running back, Mike Boone and Raheem Blackshear. Wide receiver, David Moore, Velus Jones Jr., and Devin Tompkins. Tight end, Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble. Honestly, who am I bringing back? I'm bringing back David Moore. Him and Bryce Young had some kind of weird connection middle of the year and end of the year. So I'm bringing him back just for another veteran guy to give Bryce Young that connection familiarity. But, you know, who's to say that Adam Thielen, you know, he performs well because in the beginning of the season because he's healthy. But middle of the season, he might need to take a break like he did last year and finish hella strong to finish the year, because once he had those four games that he missed with the hamstring injury, he came on and showed out. So maybe he's just like taking that beating mid season. Like, he might have to rest up. So having a connection should help. Also, I'm bringing back Tommy Tremble. He serviced as a reliable backup when Jatavion Sanders, rookie from Texas, got in that bad injury. So I'm bringing him back as well. Salary cap situation is of this recording. They are having $35 million in cap space right now they have available. Their team needs for free agency and the draft: wide receiver, offensive line, pass rusher, definitely pass rusher, corner, safety, linebacker, anything on defense that's going to help them win games. I don't see a real fit for them in the wide receiver position. In free agency, I have them dressing that through the draft. They're going to spend money on O-line pass rushers of some sort. Just defense. Go defensive side of the ball, please, for love. I mean, maybe not. You know, maybe that just gives Bryce Young that option of throwing the ball and playing from behind. But might help us fantasy gamers. You never know. For the NFL draft, like I said, addressing that wide receiver in the draft, and I have them taking Tet McMillan at number 8 out of Arizona. Adding a true dominant X receiver like McMillan would help the Panthers unlock the full potential of even the 2024 first rounder Xavier Leggett. McMillan, you know, had a great performance in 2024. He's had back-to-back 1,200 plus yards receiving. He had 8 touchdowns in 2024 as well. And then I think also with the next few picks, you got to draft basically your defensive side of the ball, offensive line, nothing skilled position. Quarterback, you're set with Andy Dalton and Bryce Young. Running back, you could probably use one, but you might be even able to sign an undrafted free agent, especially because his draft class is so stacked at running back. There's probably going to be somebody that slides. It sucks that Jonathan Brooks, he's on the team, but I don't see him playing next year, especially since he injured his ACL or re-tore his ACL that he did in college. He's probably going to miss the whole season. Chuba Hubbard, he played really well. He got extended. I think Miles Sanders is going to be on this team as well. he played well in his last game, if that was his last game for the Panthers, but I think they stick around with him for one more year. Wire Sears, I already had them drafting Tet McMillan. They drafted Xavier Leggett last year in the first round. They retained David Moore, and they got old man Thielen. So I think they also draft a tight end, though, like Mitchell Evans from Notre Dame. He's 6'5", 258 pounds. To me, he compares to like as Luke Schoonmaker. That's kind of his comp to me, is Luke Schoonmaker. The 2025 outlook for the Carolina Panthers: quarterback Bryce Young, Andy Dalton, running backs Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Imani Bailey as well. Jonathan Brooks is on the team, but he's not going to play next year. Wide receiver Adam Thielen, Xavier Leggett, David Moore, Jalen Coker, I forgot about him, and Tet McMillan. Tight end, Jatavion Sanders, hopefully he stays healthy, Tommy Tremble, and Mitch Evans. What do you think, chat? Let me know. Moving along, Atlanta Falcons, they're entering the quarterback transition, is basically where you're going to be looking. You know, you try signing veteran Kirk Cousins, and that was a major flop because he could not throw a ball down the field mid-season. So that's why you drafted, I guess, Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall in the 2024 draft. So they're going to stick with him, most likely releasing Kirk Cousins. It just wasn't good for Cousins in Atlanta. Defensive wise, though, like, they got a whole new coordinator, defense coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, which was the interim head coach for the New York Jets last year. So he's on the defensive side of the ball. Anyways, offensively, Falcons ranked 18th in total offense. Even though they seen improvement from Bijan Robinson, they still ranked pretty low overall in the offense. Their passing definitely did, 25th in passing yards. Not good to see. But I mean, they did have a good run game, finishing 5th in rushing yards, driven basically because of Bijan Robinson. Defensively, they finished 17th overall. They were 15th in points allowed and 12th in rush defense, showing, you know, solid effort and limited opponents on the ground. The passing, though, was their weaker spot. They allowed 22nd most. It's just most 22nd in passing yards. Sorry. They just struggled. It was not a great look for them. I expect more to be focused on the defense side of the ball as well. Anyways, their key free agents, quarterbacks, none. Running back, Avery Wilson or Williams. Wide receivers, Rondell Moore and Cardale Hodge. Tight end, none. Who am I bringing back? Probably no one. You know what? Bring back Rondell Moore. Give him a shot. You traded him last year for Desmond Ridder during the offseason. Then he had the season ending surgery. Maybe just bring him back, see what you wanted to get out of him. And he's not going to cost a whole lot either. The salary cap situation, they have about $8 million. So they're going to have to figure out a way to either restructure contracts, cut players, do the tough decisions to free up some of this money. I think a lot of it has to do with Kirk Cousins still being on the team. I don't know what the dead cap money is going to be once they cut or to even trade him. I don't see Kirk Cousins being on the team next year. Free agents, their team needs, obviously, edge, corner, defense line, wide receiver, linebacker, and offensive line. To me, I'm thinking they're going to go offensive line because they want to protect and get that solidify your franchise quarterback in Michael Penix. You want to keep him upright. And also, you want to open up holes for Bijan Robinson to run through and be successful. That I just think it makes sense. And defensively, you need a whole bunch of help on defense side of ball. Skilled position, I don't see anything really being of need for us fantasy gamers. And in the draft, the Falcons only have 4 draft picks next year. So I don't see them spending it on anyone at the skilled position just because I think they're kind of set for all that. And having 4, you're going to go probably edge at pick number 15, like a Mike Green, something like that. And the other 3 you're going to just basically use on defense or offensive line. You know, it's just going to be a very blah and boring offseason for the Falcons, for us fantasy gamers to watch and listen. The only thing that might be interesting is Kirk Cousins getting either released or traded. The 2025 outlook for the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., running back Bijan Robinson, who is my RB1 in redrafts, just a heads up. Tyler Allgeier and Jace McClellan. Wide receivers, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray McCloud, Devin Sills, and Casey Washington. Tight end, the one, the only, Kyle Pitts. Jesus Christ. Man, give him the ball or cut him or trade him, something like that. Charlie Warner, I'm not even going to get into Kyle Pitts. Guy sucks. Next, the final team we're going to talk about today is Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They finished first in the division at 10-7, making it to the playoffs. They had a great performance. They're losing, though, offense coordinator Liam Cohen, who had himself a hell of an offseason, to say the least, going back and forth of the Jacksonville Jaguars and them, but ultimately he accepted the Jacksonville Jaguars head coaching job. Offensively, though, under Liam Cohen, it might be a little bit different. They did sign Josh Grizzard, which was a game or passing game coordinator under Liam Cohen. So maybe they just maintain familiarity with the offense. But they ranked 13th in total yard, 11th in passing yards. They set franchise records for passing yards and touchdowns under quarterback Baker Mayfield. They ranked middle of the pack in terms of points scored, 17th. But their explosive passing attack was their bright spot. Defensively, they're 18th in total yards allowed, 14th in total points allowed. They struggled to stop the run, only finishing with 41 sacks total, finishing middle of the pack. Their key free agents this offseason is Kyle Trask at quarterback, running back Chase Edmonds, wide receiver Chris Godwin, Sterling Shepard, and Cody Thompson. And tight end, none. Who am I bringing back? I like bringing back people that know the system, people that know everything. Kyle Trask, yes, he's always only been on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but I'm bringing him back. He's very familiar with the play calls, the game script. I'm bringing him back as a competent, you know, backup for the time being. Chris Godwin is another guy I'm bringing back, but before he got hurt, what does a kid say nowadays? Oh, he was cooking last year before he got hurt. And I think they could sign him for maybe a one-year prove-it deal. I'd say he would probably take a discount to play on this team to do that prove-it deal. But then again, he might just say, screw it. Let's lock myself up here for big money. I don't know if he's going to get it. He might start the season on the PUP list, so that's what's hard to say. As of right now, how is his, you know, recovering going? I don't know the ins and outs of that. But I have him staying here in Tampa. Their salary cap, they have $5 million roughly in cap space. So they're going to have to be restructuring and everything else. Much like everyone in the NFC South, it's either you're $47 million over or you have like $4, $8 million, whatever, available. The free agent needs and draft needs is edge, wide receiver. But if Godwin stays, that wide receiver part is not there. Linebacker, corner, safety, O-line. I think they address the edge first round in the draft. I could see them, though, getting like a taller wide receiver that's going to be relatively cheap and a tall, deep threat air attack like DJ Chark. He, to me, can stretch a field. He's taller. He provides, you know, the stretchability, being very complimentary, you know, helping out with, you know, Godwin, Evans, and McMillan himself. But I think, you know, the rest of the is going to be filled on holes because they got a bunch of other needs and holes for free agency. In the draft, like I mentioned, I think they go either edge in the first round, but after thinking about it, edge is probably one of the stronger, and you could probably get somebody later on. And the first round would be great to draft maybe a corner like Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, and then edge in the second round. It for us fantasy gamers, it doesn't really make sense, you know, doesn't help us or anything like that. But I don't think they're going to draft any skilled position because they already hit a home run last year with Bucky Irving. And I don't see them taking quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Nah. So that's pretty easy. The 2025 outlook for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Quarterback, you got Baker Mayfield, Kyle Trask. Running back, Bucky Irving and Rashad White and Sean Tucker. Wide receivers, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin coming back off injury, Jalen Milroe or McMillan, Trey Palmer, and DJ Chark. Tight end, you got Cade Otton and Devin Culp. What do you guys think? How did I do, you know, NFC South teams? Did I suck again? Let me know. But I want to know your guys' feedback. Also, you could hit me up on Twitter, LouisLewis5. And that is a wrap of today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to follow, like, subscribe for more expert analysis and fantasy tips by myself, yours truly, Jake. Remember also to follow me on Twitter for updates, posts, anything football relevance. Next week, Monday, is the legal tampering period, so be sure to follow me. I'll be retweeting left and right deals that are getting signed, anything like that. And you can do that at LouisLewis5. That is LEWY, LEWIS, the number 5. And be sure to also check back next Tuesday where I will be playing the GM of NFC West. This is my last one, so be sure to check out the last few. And I'll see you fancy heads later, and I'll talk to you next week. Peace.